Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shema Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Babbat Daf Pei Amud Aleph, the very top of the Amud. We're looking at the second half of Mishnah Gimel of the fifth parak. Again, dealing with purchasing metaltalin, what comes along with them. Halokach perot shovach mechavirov. Somebody buys literally the fruit of the dovecote, meaning doves that are going to be born or hatched down the line. Mafriach bricha rishona. The first set that is born has to be allowed to fly, meaning that they stay in the dovecote. Perot kaveret, if he's going to buy the fruit of a honeycomb. And I'll tell gimel nechilim, which means here that the bees. And I'll tell gimel nechilim masares, he only gets the first three swarms that come out, and then the owner can, literally, this is one of the reads, can neuter the other bees so that they'll get involved in honey making and not mating, and the Gemara discusses how he does that. Chalot dvash, if he's buying actual honey, meniach shtei chalot, he has to leave two honeycombs there so that they'll have what to work with over the winter. Zeitim lakutz, if he's buying olive trees to cut, meniach shtei grufiyot, has to leave two branches. Okay. Vatanya, we have a bride says, bricha v'shanah shnia, that you don't leave the first, we're going back to the first item of the dove coat. You don't just leave the first pair, but the first two pairs. So, of kana lokasha, hala haliima. It depends from which perspective, the way the Rashbam reads it. Rishonim have different perspectives on this very difficult piece. So, Rashbam says that this is really just for completing the Mishnah, meaning that you have to leave one pair for the dove coat. What that means is one pair for the pair that's left there. They also have to have a pair of their own young. Now, Maishna Ima, why does the mother get to Mitzavta Abarta Ma'azuga de Shavkinanla? Because she's very tied to her young and to the mate that she has. So why doesn't that work in the other way that she's also tied to her mother? So she should leave the one before. So the answer is Ima Barta Mitzavta Barta Ima Lo Mitzavta. The mother's very tied to the young's not tied to the mother. I'm sure there's much chomer ledrush here, but we will move on. Perot kaveret, I'll tell gimel achilin masares. You take the first three swarms and then neuter the rest. Bamem masarsan, how would they neuter them? I'm Rav Yudah, I'm Shmuel, b'chardal, they'd use mustard. How would that work? I'm Rav, Mishmeri, Rav Yosef Hanina, lo chardal masarsan. It's not the mustard that neuters them. Elamitok shepihan chad, because their mouth gets very sharp. We have this in the second parak. Because of eating this spicy mustard, they go and they now eat a lot of honey, and they process the honey, and they get involved in that, and they stop mating. So it's not so much that it does a physical thing of neutering them, but that really just distracts them because their taste is so sharp in their mouth. Yochanan has a whole different take on the sarsan. It doesn't mean to neuter, but rather, hotel shloshan chilin b'sirus means you take three swarms in alternation. This is a term we're familiar with from the second parak of Megillah. Meaning, and we'll see example here, might need to tell him, tell Gimel Nechilin B'Zachar, say you take the first three swarms, you take one and leave one, take one and leave one, that's B'Sirus. Okay. Chalot Dvash, Menech Shtei Chalot, etc. Now, Amar Avkana, Dvash, B'Kaveret, Eino Yotzim, De Machal, Le'olam. Avkana makes the following statement. He says that honey, when it's in the honeycomb, is always food. You don't have to intend that it be considered food to have Tumat Ochlin. Amar Kasavar, Al-Bari Machshava, so you see you don't need intent. We have a challenge to that. Dvash bekaveret ino lo ochav lamashke. The honey that's in the comb is neither food nor drink. So Rabbi Votzricha lo tan shtei chalot. Rabbi says, yeah, that's referring to the two loaves that you leave when buying it. But everything else is food. So Rav Kahana's statements about everything else and the Braita about Dvash bekaveret is talking about those two. Rava Amar Reb Eliezer. Rava disagrees and says, that's authored by Reb Eliezer. Nine. We had this a little earlier. Kaveret devarim rabozimer harei kikarka. A honeycomb is like karka. Kotvina la pruzbo. You could use it to write a pruzbo because you own karka. Ve'eno kalvatum mkoma. It can become tame while it's still connected into the ground, or the way they have it, or in the tree. If you pull honey out, you chayav for tolish on Shabbat. Chamorim ein kotvina la pruzbo. You can't write a pruzbo on it. Ve'eno kikarka. It's not a karka. Ve'kavatum mkoma. It can become tame there, like any of the metaltalin. If you pull something out of that Shabbat, you're patur. Now, I'm Rabbi Elazar. What's Rabbi Eliezer's reason? when Yonatan was in the, on the battle against the Plishtim, and he was tired, he dipped his staff down on the ground and went to the honeycomb, tasted a little bit, got a sugar rush, and the honeycomb is called Ya'arat HaDvash. V'chima inyan Ya'ar Etzel Dvash. Why is the honey called a forest? Just like in a forest, if you pull something out of it on Shabbat, you're chayav chatat from a tree. Same thing with honey. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so Rava says that the statement that dvash bimkoma is not mekabel tuma, that's Rabbi Eliezer. Fine. But that won't work because meitevei dvash hazav mikavarto, if you have a dvash that's dripping out of the honeycomb, eino lo ochel v'lo mashke. It's still not food. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it should be food by now because now it's no longer in the ground. Bishtamal Abaya Necha. Abaya works fine here because Abaya will say that that's referring to those two honey loaves. Elo the Rava Kasha. But according to Rava, it doesn't work because he said that statement we dealt with earlier was Rabbi Eliezer. Even here, Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it's Ochel. So Zvi going to Zavol Dekla Al Gabe Kli Maus. So Zvi makes a Mukimta. He says perhaps it was dripping on a dirty Kli. So right away the honey becomes unfit. Rachab Yaakov Amar, similar thing, going to Zavol Gabe Kashkasin, fall on grass. All right. Now Meitavei, we still have a challenge against Rabbi Rava. Dvash v'chavarto eino lo ochel v'lo mashke chishev elav l'achila mitamim tumat ochlin l'mashkin mitamim tumat mashkin. Here it says that the honey, when it's in the honeycomb, it's neither food nor drink. But if you intend to think of it as food, it becomes food. And matami tumat ochlin. If you think of it as drink, then it becomes tumat mashke. Which means it goes either way based on your machshava. So bishlam alavayanecha gordon abaya again. That could be talking about those two. Halarava kasha. So malacharava tari tzachi. Rava says read the brayta differently. Chishev alav lechila eino matame tumat ochlin lemashkin eino matame tumat mashkin. Not it is matame. It's not matame. Meaning your thoughts don't help because this is like Rabbi Eliezer that it's karka while it's inside. Now tanya kavatid Rav Kahana. This all goes back to Rav Kahana's statement, which was dvash bekavarto matame tumat ochlin shlo machshava. That's basically what Rav Kahana said. While the dvash is inside, it can become tamei tumat ochlin even if you didn't intend it as food. It's automatically food. Okay, zeitim lakutz. The Mishnah said that if you get olives to cut down, you have to leave two branches. So you have a related bright. If you buy a tree to cut it down, you have to go one tefach up and cut it down, so you leave enough for it to regrow. If you buy a sycamore that was never cut, you have to go gimel tefachim up. If it's a sycamore stump, was already cut once, then shnei tefachim. You have to leave that much. Let's say you have vines, from a knot. The first knot, you can cut from there and then leave it to regrow. But if you have date trees or cedar trees, you can dig in and uproot them. Because they don't regrow. So you're not going to save anything by leaving some in the ground. Therefore, you can take the whole thing. Now, is it true that for the uncut, the never cut sycamore, you need the three tefachim in order for it to regrow? Or meaning we have the following challenge. You're not allowed to cut down this betulat hashikma, meaning it's avodah that helps the tree because by cutting it down, it actually generates more growth. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't cut in the normal way. You can go 10 tefachim up and cut. Not three, 10. Oh, gomem me'at me'im ha'aretz, or you can cut right on the ground. Now, me'im ha'aretz hudakashi, ha'idach ma'alila, it's a little strange. But right on the ground, it's actually bad for the tree, but three tfachim up, it's good for the tree. Abaye, he says, gimel tfachim ma'alila. At gimel tfachim, it helps. Me'im ha'aretz vaday kashi la, if you cut it right on the ground, it's bad for the tree. Between 0 and 3, it doesn't either. It doesn't help the tree grow, but it doesn't hurt it either. It can continue to grow. So therefore, when it comes to Shvita, the only thing we allow is something that's really not going to help the tree at all, something that will hurt its growth. When it comes to sale, we can only do something that will certainly help the tree grow, and that's to cut it gimel tefachim. Okay, the last item on the list was the kalima v'arazim chofer m'sharesh l'vishain gizan machlif. We said the date trees and cedar trees don't regrow, and therefore you could take them, uproot them totally. Beres enkizo machliv. Is that true that a cedar doesn't replenish its branches? Hadarsh from Chia Bar Luliani was a famous drasha. My dichtiv tzadik kedamai vrach keres galvon yiskeh. Why are the tzadikim compared both to dates and to cedars? Im nemar tamar lemanamar eres, unamar eres lemanamar tamar. So ilu nemar eres lemanamar tamar, if it was only called a cedar, haitobar my eres enosapirot, just like a cedar is deciduous, doesn't make any fruit. Av tzadik enosapirot. Tzadik is great, but it doesn't create any perot. Chachlebar tamar, that's why it says tamar, a palm tree creates dates. Nemar tamar velonamar eres, if it said tamar but not eres, Hayti omer matamar en gizom achlif, just like a tamar doesn't replenish its branches, av tzadik en gizom achlif. Chachimar eres, so it says eres to tell you that it does replenish. So you see that cedar trees do replenish. So achmai eskin, and what's the answer? Bishar min erazim. We're talking about other kinds of cedars, really other kinds of firs or evergreens. Kedarav bar avuna, de amar avuna, mered ve'rav. Yod min erazim, and there's 10 kinds of cedars. Shenemar, quote the pasuk Mishayahu. Atein b'amibar erez, shita, v'hadas, ve'et shemen, asim. It said erez is arza, shita, tunita, hadas, asa. These are all now considered to be, even though asa is a myrtle, these are all considered to be subsets of cedars. Et shemen is a farsima, it's a persimmon, barosha barti, tidhar shana, v'tashur shuvina. So the answer to the question is, honey zayin havi, this list is only 7 trees. You said there's 10. So Kiat Rav Dimi Amar, so Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael and said, Osif Olei, and the Chachamim added 3 more to the list, Alonim, Almonim, and Almogim. Alright, what's Alonim? So in Aramaic it's Bitmutni, Almonim is Bluti, and Almogim is Kisita. Alright, Ika de Amri, some people said that really the 3 added are Aronim, Armonim, and Almogim. Armonim is Ari, Armonim Dulvi, and again Armonim is Ksita. So these different kinds of trees were added so that there are really 10 kinds of cedars and not 7. Okay, we'll stop at this point. We'll pick up at the next Mishnah, Mishnah Dalad, Hakonashni Lanot, in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.